When I was in the Navy, I had the arduous beginning of my first duty assignment at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. It was really a great place to start out, and had a chance to meet a lot of wonderful young men and women and others who had been in the Navy for a while. And during my time at Pearl Harbor, and in fact throughout my chaplaincy, one of the things we did a lot of was a lot of counseling, just sitting down and talking with sailors and trying to be there for them, whatever they were going through. One particular sailor that came into my office one day shared the following story, which, I, being in the Navy, obviously I've heard a lot of stories, but this one was right up there. He shared the story of growing up as a young boy, and whenever he had done anything wrong or something that was upsetting to his father would take him out to a shed, close the door, and literally beat him up. I think he used a belt and his fists and everything, and that was how he was disciplined. And this went on through his whole life growing up. So he came to me as a sailor with these experiences, and he shared this as a backdrop to the struggle he was going through. He was married and had a young baby. And he found that whenever that baby acted up or was crying or somehow set him off, he wanted to do the same thing to the baby that his father had done to him growing up, and wanted to hit the baby and do whatever, again, based on how he was raised. But he realized, he had the good sense to realize that was not how to handle the situation, that there was something inherently wrong. As much as he was treated that way growing up, and as much as he wanted to act out in that way toward his baby, at the same time, he loved his baby and he didn't want to do it. So there's a struggle going on inside of him, thank God. And so he came to me in my office and he shared with me this story, and he said, "You know what, Chaplain, I need help. I don't know what to do. I'm having this battle inside of me of wanting to actually discipline my baby the way I was disciplined growing up, and yet inside I know that this is not something I should be doing." So first of all, I let him know that I was so grateful that he came to me. It took a lot of courage on his part to do that, because as a young sailor in the Navy, there's a lot of things that could happen to him even having those thoughts. But being a chaplain and wanting to be there for him, I first of all encouraged him in coming, and then I got him into some more intensive counseling in the Navy at a place called a Family Service Center, which is another wonderful organization within the Navy that provides more intensive care for families and service members in need, for him and his family. And over a period of time, there was healing for him. I eventually saw him again, and he came back and he saw me, and he thanked me for my counseling of him and my direction of him and all the help he got through other people in the Navy, to the point to where whenever the baby cried or whenever the baby was acting up, he didn't want to do something that would have been harmful, but rather learned, if you will, some new strategies and some new ways to handle things. This father gave the gift of love to his little girl, even before she knew what was going on, so that ultimately she could really be daddy's little girl in every sense of the word. And for me, this young father is really a heroic person. Even in the moment, as I was counseling with him, as we talked together, as tears were streaming down his face, I just had a tremendous sense of love for him and a tremendous amount of respect for him, that he came and he realized, hey, you know what? I need to do this differently than my dad treated me. He had honesty with himself. He was able to say, you know what? Something's wrong here. As much as I want to do this, as much as I was treated this way, something inside of me tells me this is wrong. He came for help, even though it could have been the end of his time in the Navy. And he experienced healing. And it was a healing that took time. It took time. This is not something you just get over overnight. I mean, this young man had been basically physically abused all of his life. And that's not just something you switch off. A lot of healing, a lot of time, a lot of prayer, a lot of counseling, a lot of encouragement to move in a different direction. But he was able to do that. And he moved into what it would look like to become a better father. And so on this Father's Day weekend, what I want to encourage all of the fathers and men with is simply this idea. I believe there continues to be a great need this day for fathers and for men in our situation, in our world right now, that will reach out to people in a way that is constructive and loving and transforming, and actually engage with them. Men will never, ever give you all the details that a woman would give. Let me just cut to the chase. It isn't going to happen. I'm a guy, and I don't even want to go there. I'll be honest with you. Most guys don't. But we can begin to move in the direction of maybe sharing a little bit more details, more than a grunt, more than a smile and walking the other way, and beginning to move in ways that will be more positive and tremendously life-affirming. Becoming a better father and becoming a better man is an important part of our spiritual journey. Let me share with you some stats. A child raised without a father is 5 times more likely to be poor and to commit crimes. They're 9 times more likely to drop out of school. And they're 20 times more likely to end up in jail. These are sociological studies that have been done over time. Mothers are important in the lives of their children, but I'm sharing these stats with you to let you know as well, fathers are incredibly important in the lives of their children as well. Denzel Washington shares the story about himself and 2 friends growing up in his neighborhood. He said in this story that the police weren't busy arresting 7-year-olds, but they were in the midst of a lot of things and doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. By the time they reached 13, they were doing some really bad things. Denzel went on to share that one of his friends got 10 to 15 years in prison. His other friend got 20 to 25 years in prison. Denzel was the only one out of that group that had a father at home. And in Denzel's own words, his father and his mother being at home for him in that moment in his life made all the difference in the world. It was a difference between who he is today and being somebody in prison for years and years in their life. He said that's what made all the difference for him, because they pointed him in a different direction. A different direction. You know, it's interesting when you look at our welfare system, it's interesting what is funded, what is supported. And this is something that I and Jan worked at an inner city a practice on the near west side of Cleveland for a number of years as a nurse practitioner, was the assistant medical director there. And she saw the revolving door on a firsthand basis. There would be the mother that would come in, who had been on welfare for a number of years, had had a number of different kids, no father. And as you know, in the welfare system, the more kids you have, the more money you get. And so there was a funding of this perpetual merry-go-round and having more and more kids out of wedlock so that you could get more money. And you know what? I'm not making this up. This is what the women would tell Janet, and this is what they would tell me as well. It's been going on for decades. And then you'd meet the daughter who would come into the same practice, the daughter of the mother who was 17 or 18 and had begun the cycle as well of having kids out of wedlock, and this was going to be the first of many kids because the more kids she had, the more money she got. Now, I just want to say something. Again, as a Navy chaplain, I formed the single parent support group. Single parents are amazing people. It's amazing what they do. It's amazing the amount of work they take on and what a wonderful job the mothers do. Most of the time, they're mothers. The fathers are missing in action. They're gone. A lot of times, they don't even know who the father is. And so, having said that, what I want to say to us here today is that in the midst of what's going on in our culture right now, some of us may be surprised about what's going on, but some of us aren't, because we've been sowing this seed for decades. And we shouldn't be surprised about the collapse that's going on around us. And the collapse began in the 60s when people in power, the politicians, began to fund a directive that basically dismantled the family. They dismantled the family, the building block of society, and here we are to this point. You know what? I just want to say it doesn't take a village. It takes a family. God ordained the family, father and mother and children. And I'm simply here to say I believe we should fund for the outcome we want. What about funding fathers and mothers that stay together and actually raise their children together? How about that? That's like a crazy idea. I can't tell you how many people would be against me even saying that. I'll probably get emails about this. But I'll say it again. I think we should be funding fathers and mothers together to raise their children so that we could have more healthy children that will not end up in prison, that will not be committing crimes, that can have a future for themselves and for their families as well. We should put our money into the results that we want to see. And the results I believe we need to see, the desired outcome needs to be families that we support. White, brown, black, whatever the color is, the most important thing in the life of that child is to have a father and a mother who's there for them. All the way up, raising them up, supporting them, directing them, correcting them, loving them, so that they grow up into the beautiful adults God meant them to be. It's interesting, as I'm talking about fathers this day and men this weekend as well, we look at the story in the Old Testament about Abraham. You know, a very interesting story here. It really ties in with this weekend. And Abraham, it says in our scripture today, was troubled. Sarah saw, it says in the story today, the two boys playing together, Isaac and Ishmael, the two boys out of Abraham's life, out of Hagar and Sarah. And there was no sister's wives thing going on in this family. This wasn't all going to be okay because Sarah basically said to her husband, Abraham, you know, Hagar and her son have to go. Now, Abraham, when he heard this from his wife, was troubled. You know, it's very interesting. Roger has just been reading a commentary about this. He shared this with me right before the service. And I'm going to share with you what I just learned, which is really cool. You know, as you look at this story, you think you have a couple of infants playing together, but that's not the case. You realize that Isaac wasn't born until 14 years after Hagar's son was born. So that means this young boy, this boy was 16 years old. He's weaned a couple of years later. So thank you for that information. I think this is really cool. So you know what? This family has been together for 16 years, which makes Sarah's words, I think, even more poignant and powerful. And what a breakup. I mean, yeah, Abraham is troubled times 10. Here they've been in the family for 16 years, and all of a sudden we're going to show them the door. And, you know, Sarah's not moving on this one yet. They got to go. And then God speaks to him. God says to him, listen to Sarah. Isaac is your future. Hagar and her son will be provided for. And then we read the rest of the story about how they leave and how God ultimately provides for them. And God makes out of Hagar's son another great nation. Again, remember the Lord's words to Abraham at the very beginning that he would be the father of many nations. And that word was fulfilled through his life. The wonderful thing about this story is that as tragic as it was and as hard as it was, Abraham was there. Abraham wasn't a father who was missing in action. Abraham wasn't a father that they didn't even know who the father was. Abraham was the father who was right there, and there was a crisis, and he had to deal with it. He had to handle the situation in the family. And guess what? If you've ever been part of the family, challenge and struggle and crisis are part of the deal, as well as joy and success and wonderful moments. It's just all part of being a human being. And so Abraham was there, and it was important that he was there along with Sarah. This fight was important. You know, there's some things that are worth fighting over. If you've been married long enough, you pick your battles. At least I do. It's like, nah, not going to fight that one. You win, honey. It's like, no, I'm going to fight this one. This one's important. Let's go for it. You know, you got to pick your battles. This was an important fight. This was an important battle. And they talked it out, and the Lord spoke, and our Father in heaven provided a way. He provided a way. You see, God honors the family. We as human beings have a free choice. We can do whatever we want to do. We can live out our lives however we want to do. We can be having more and more kids so that we get more and more money from the government. Or we can honor God's way and we can honor the family and we can honor father and mother in the house together, raising up a family in a way that would be pleasing to God. And that is what God will honor. What we need today, in this moment, even as things crumble around us, we still need fathers and men to stand up. You know, whatever else you do, I just want to say this to you, be a man. Just be a man. And you know what that means in your gut. And if you're not sure what it means, get into the Word of God. God will speak to you about it. God will make it clear to you. But be a man. That's what we need in this hour. As much as our culture has fought against that in different ways, as much as that is not affirmed in this hour, God the Father in heaven still affirms it, and that's good enough for me. I don't care what anybody else thinks. We need fathers and men who will stand up and be the men that God has called you to be. So fathers and men that are here today, let me ask you a question in closing. What do you need from God? What do you need from God? You know, one of the things that Abraham needed in this moment when he was troubled about what Sarah had said is he was probably saying in that moment, God help. This is like a big mess that I didn't even see coming. What's up with Sarah? They've been around for 16 years, and all of a sudden I got to show them the curb? In the middle of this desert, this was a crisis. And God answered him in the midst of his storm. What troubles you in this moment? What is it you're struggling with? What relationship issues need to be resolved? What is the next step for all concerned? And what is the next step for you? And do you need some heavenly provision? We all do. And so fathers that are here today, men that are here today, I want to speak the most encouraging word of affirmation that I can to you in this moment. I thank God for the women that are here and the mothers as well, but this is our weekend, men. And I want to speak a tremendous word of affirmation to you. I thank God that he made you a man. He made you a man because that was God's design for you from the very beginning of time. And regardless of what anyone thinks of you, regardless of how anybody feels about you, regardless of where you are at this point in your manhood, in your masculinity, I speak a word of affirmation to you and your manhood and your fatherhood. And the choices that you make and the situations that you're facing that are uniquely your cross in this hour. I encourage you. I pray for you. I lift you up in this hour. Think of this young man that came to me as a chaplain at Pearl Harbor, shaking his boots, wondering what was going to happen to him, wanting to do the best by his daughter. And at the end, a very heroic man, a very heroic father that made a heroic choice and forever, forever, forever blessed the life of his daughter, blessed the life of his wife, and blessed all of our lives that are gathered here in this moment. Let us pray. And men and fathers, would you just stand where you're at right now? Just go ahead and stand up where you are. Please stand up. Men, fathers, just stand up where you are. Don't mean to embarrass you, but I want you to stand up. I'm going to wait till everybody stands up. Men, fathers, stand up where you are. There you go. Okay, everybody's standing now. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for each one of the fathers and the men that are in this place. And we pray for them in this hour as we lift them before you. Lord, we speak your blessing into their lives. We pray for every relationship that is a part of their journey. And we speak healing, we speak grace, we speak favor, we speak heavenly provision, we speak blessing, we speak joy, we speak mercy, we speak reconciliation. And in this moment, we affirm your masculinity. We affirm everything you are and the things that are yet to develop in you. Be encouraged. Be the man that God is calling you to be, and be blessed and be a blessing to those around you. In Jesus' name, amen.